Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSilicast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. Today is Sunday, October 24th, 2010, and this is show number 283. Well, the chat room is getting a big treat this week for the live show. Last week, they started passing the hat for donations to get me to buy Ustream Producer Pro. See, they did that because it cost $200 and I was too cheap to buy it, but they begged and begged and begged. Well, the main reason for me to switch to Ustream Producer was so that they could watch the show live on iOS devices. Unfortunately, by using the free version of Ustream Producer, we lost the recording of the IRC chat window, so anyone who watched the video later couldn't see the chatter going on while I'm creating the show. So today, Steve and I spent the better part of 2 hours learning the basics of Ustream Producer Pro. It's got a ton of capabilities and cool things it can do, but I wouldn't exactly say it's the most intuitive program to learn. I think I'll make a Screen Steps tutorial on it for others because I could save them a ton of time. The great news is that there's a lot more benefits to using Ustream Producer Pro over the web version of Ustream. First, the picture quality is way, 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 way better. Second, I can put in title bars and stuff like that. We frequently get people coming into the show asking, you know, what show is this? What is it about? Now they can just read the title. Of course, there's all kinds of animations for that too, so I can get really annoying with it when I learn some more. I can also easily flip between multiple cameras now, and I can even animate that flipping. Page curl is my current favorite. I can use my MacBook Pro EyeSight, my Display EyeSight, my BT1 Bluetooth camera, and I can flip it to just showing my desktop if I want. When it's on my desktop, you get a super high-resolution version that looks fantastic. One of the things with using CamTwist in my old setup was you couldn't see my cursor, but now people can see my cursor, so I get that too. I'm also piping the IRC chat window into Ustream Producer Pro, still using CamTwist. So that's a long way of saying you can see the chat now. The whole thing looks very professional, I assure you. The sad part is that in our recent testing, the NoSilicast is not showing up on the iOS devices at all today, even though that was the main reason I wanted to go down this path. Oh well, this has happened before. It seems to be an intermittent issue. Last week we were able to get it, and this week we can't. Anyway, if you haven't visited the live show before, you're missing a lot of fun. Me being there seems to be kind of incidental to the whole party. The NoSilla castaways have a great time chatting with each other, and occasionally they yell save to me. Come on by sometime, 5 p.m. Pacific time, to podfeet.com/live and join the other NoSilla castaways. This week, I had a real treat. I went on a business trip to Tucson, and we had a tweet-up after work. That's where you tweet out where you're going to be, and then people show up. It's really fun. As you might expect, the Mac Mommy, Melissa Davis, was the ringleader of this little event. With her help, I was able to meet in real life for the first time Wade Gutman, also known as Gutmosh on Twitter, Carell, who is also on Twitter as M. Carell, and David Moore, who is simply David B. Moore on Twitter. Melissa also brought along her boys, her husband Nate, along with their sons Lucian and Keegan. I got to tell you, it's really fun to have dinner with a whole group of people who do not give you a hard time for playing with your phone and tweeting and texting and stuff while you're talking to them. I put a link in the show notes to a Flickr set of photos and a video so you can see what a blast we had. Now, these are iPhone pics indoors, so don't expect artistic quality, but you definitely get a spirit of the event. A couple of accessibility issues came up this week that I wanted to tell you about. The first one came out right after my review of Parallels for Mac that I did on the show, in which I compared it to VMware Fusion. I heard back, and I can't remember who told me this, that another reason to pick VMware over Parallels is that VMware Fusion is accessible to the blind, while Parallels is not. Next up on the hit list is Hulu. Wade Gutman, we were just talking about Wade a minute ago, he's at Gutmosh, is hearing impaired, and he relies heavily on closed captioning. He told me that Hulu is very intermittent on whether they have captions or not. Now, this is kind of interesting to me because I know the big networks are required to do closed captioning, but apparently Hulu does not have that restriction. Anyway, the good news is he gave 2 thumbs up to Netflix, who he says always has captions on their videos.
Dumb questions.
How do I?
What is?
How come I always have to?
It's time for Dumb Question Corner.
Well, I have a couple of dumb questions here. The first one is from Doug Whitescarver, and this one has me stumped. He has a new installation of Snow Leopard, and to check for software updates, it asks for his admin password. Now, I'm not talking about to install the updates. Everybody gets the query for the admin password. Then he says that it's just when he says check for software updates. I verified with him that he is running as an administrator, and I thought for sure that was the problem. If anyone has an idea why this might be, Doug and I would both like to know the answer and, more importantly, the fix. By the way, he has an installation of Snow Leopard on another machine, and it does not ask for his password when he clicks software update. I don't understand why that is. Well, while I was recording that little bit about Doug Weitzgarver's problem, about 12 people in the chat room yelled, fix permissions, Doug. I don't know if that's a root cause, but it's certainly worth a try. So on my second dumb question, Greg Norton asked a question I can't answer yet either. Here's his question.
Hi, Allison. This is Greg from Altadena with a dumb question. My partner and I share an iMac at our house. It has two separate accounts, each with its own copy of iTunes. We each have iPhones, which we sync with the iTunes libraries in our separate accounts on that computer. So my dumb question is, when Apple updates the iTunes software, which can take a very long time to download, is there a way to avoid having to download that update twice? I usually do it first, since I sync a lot more frequently, and then a week or two later, when my partner gets around to syncing, yes, I know, his copy of iTunes prompts him to update the program all over again, which means another half an hour of downloading. Any ideas? Thanks for your great podcast.
Now, I'm pretty sure this is a case of maybe Greg doing an installation inside his user applications folder instead of doing it at the top-level applications folder, so he and his partner have two copies of iTunes. Not exactly sure how he caused that or how to fix it. I assume if they have different logins, as he says, they should be able to keep their library separate but still use the same version of iTunes, right? I think maybe he could just do an install of iTunes into the top-level applications folder and then within iTunes on each account then point to his library. I'm a little hesitant to tell him how to do it because I'm not sure there might be all kinds of crazy repercussions of that one. I'm pretty sure you really want to do a backup before you do any of that. Or if there's a clean way to fix this problem, I'd sure like to help Greg out. Next up, we have a nice little listener review I'd like to play for you.
Hi, Allison. This is Tom Borofsky from mandogmachine.com with a review of CapCho for the iPhone. One of the things I use my iPhone for most is taking quick notes on the go. I have some of my best ideas when I'm out walking the dog, and if I don't capture them immediately, I'll probably forget them before I'm back home. Up until recently, I was using the iPhone's built-in Notes app, which has the downside of being kind of slow to use, and I needed to remember to check it when I got back home, and I'm not very good at remembering things. I also tried a voice recording app, but that basically had the same problems. I also tried Evernote and probably half a dozen other apps, but none of them did what I wanted or were not easy or quick enough to use. What I really wanted was an app that I could quickly enter some text into and send it to a place that I regularly check. For me, this comes down to either email or OmniFocus, my app of choice for task management. I don't own or intend to buy OmniFocus for the iPhone, and it would be overkill anyway, both feature and price-wise. So, that leaves email. The logical thing to do, of course, was to use the iPhone's built-in mail app, or so I thought. While it did work, it was neither elegant nor fast because it required way too many taps. When you're out walking the dog while trying to send yourself a short note, you'll have run into a tree by the time you tap send. At that point, I had more or less given up on finding the perfect solution when Josh Helfrich on Twitter mentioned CapCho. CapCho is from Boonbits, a one-man iOS developer shop run by Ben Lennertz from Utrecht in the Netherlands. Nope, that's not Michael Jackson's Wacky Mansion, that's the Neverland Ranch. The Netherlands are, well, Holland, basically. It's a small country with lots of water whose population migrates through Germany in campers come summertime. Anyway, CapCho's tagline is email yourself with one tap. And that's exactly what this app does. Nothing more, nothing less. It's a perfect example of a one-thing-well type of app. Now, this may sound a bit underwhelming at first, but let me assure you that it has the potential to change how you deal with note-taking on the go entirely. Forget fiddling with complex and feature-laden apps that take too long to load and that make you tap your way through an overcrowded interface just to take a simple note. Here's how CAPTCHA works. Launch it, type in the note, tap send. Yes, it really is that easy. The app launches in less than a second on my iPhone 3GS and immediately greets you with a blinking cursor inside a new note. No need to tap a plus button or navigate a menu, just start typing. This is huge because I remember how many taps it took me to get to a new note in Evernote. More than once, I had forgotten what it was that I wanted to write down by the time I finally had the cursor blinking in a new note. With CAPTCHA, you can do a brain dump a mere second after you hit its icon on your home screen. And when you're done typing, just tap send. The first line of the note automatically becomes the subject line of the email, and any subsequent lines go into the message body. When the email has been successfully sent, you get a nice little, and that's it. CAPTCHA then immediately reverts back to its note entry mode so you can enter your next note. If making a text note isn't enough for you, CAPTCHA also lets you take a photo or pick one from your camera roll and send that as an attachment. And if you don't have a network connection when you tap send, the note gets stored on your iPhone and a badge on the app's icon indicates how many notes are waiting to be delivered. When you launch or switch to CAPTCHA again, any stored notes get sent automatically if a network connection is available. The only thing you need to configure once is the email address your note gets sent to. CAPTCHA asks you for the address when you send your first note, and you can change it anytime via the app's preference pane in your iPhone's Preferences app. You can also set a custom prefix for the email subject line, which comes in handy when you want to handle CAPTCHA's emails in the email client on your Mac with rules. The only possible downside to CAPTCHA is that, as of now, the app uses the developer's own server for handling the emails. While the developer states that, quote, "The server does not collect or store any personal information like your notes and email address, only anonymous usage statistics and internal error reports." It's probably a good idea to assume the notes you are sending yourself are not private or at least not totally secure. While I seriously doubt that the developer is sitting there reading the notes people are sending themselves, it's probably a good idea to not use the app for sending sensitive information. But that's good advice when it comes to email anyway, right? And that's all there's to it. Email yourself with one tap with CAPTCHA. CAPTCHA runs on the iPhone and iPod Touch and in compatibility mode on the iPad, so it doesn't natively support the iPad screen resolution, but it's still quite usable anyway. CAPTCHA is available in the App Store for 99 cents, and you can get more info about the app at boonbits.com. This was Tom Borofsky from mandogmachine.com saying thanks for listening.
Well, Tom actually sent that review in ages ago before I went to Blogworld, and I immediately bought the app after he sent it in about CAPTCHA. Like Tom, I email myself little reminders to make sure I do things or remember somebody's name, that kind of thing. I'm sure the getting things done people are pretty much having a stroke right now, but hey, it works for Tom and I, so you go back to your smug little inbox zero and leave the rest of us alone. While I was at Blogworld Expo, I had basically zero quality time with my Mac to write the podcast, was having too much fun, so I relied on CAPTCHA the entire time to send myself emails for later incorporation into the podcast. One nice thing is that every email comes entitled CAPTCHA, so I could create a rule to pile them all up in one place. Thanks, Tom, for a great $1 app. That really, really solved my problem. I mentioned Screen Steps at the beginning of the show. It's my favorite tool for documenting anything on the computer, Mac or Windows. I take screen snapshots with their built-in tool, but you can use any snapshot tool you like. Then you can annotate the images with arrows, boxes, even step sequence numbers. Finally, throw some text in to explain why of the step that you're trying to show them. When you're done, click Export, and you get to choose from PDF, HTML, even post directly to your blog. ScreenSteps takes all of the work out of doing documentation and makes you look even more brilliant than you already were. And you get all that for only $39.95 for the standard version or $79.95 for ScreenSteps Pro. Apply the coupon code NOCILLA, that's my name, in all capital letters spelled backwards, and you'll even get 25% off of that price. Head on over to ScreenSteps.com and make yourself happy and make yourself look brilliant. My son Kyle is off at UCLA studying chemical engineering, and he had an assignment where he needed to do a regression analysis on an Excel file of data he'd taken during an experiment. No worries, there's a regression option just inside the analysis tool pack in Excel, right? Well, there used to be, but since Office 2008, they took it out of the Mac version. Now, personally, I think that's just plain mean, but hating on him for it wasn't going to get Kyle out of the bind he was in. The good news was that I'm still running Office 2004, and dang, is it slow, but it still has the tool pack. The other good news is that a lot of Mac programs are drag and drop now, so that maybe I could just give it to him. I have a family pack, so it'd be licensed legally, by dropping the file into my mobile me account. Unfortunately, the files were huge, hundreds of megabytes, so I could probably drive to UCLA and back faster than it would get there. So we tried to pick through and grab just the files he needed, zip them up, but you know, after about an hour of fooling around with that, we gave up. I'm telling you all of this because I thought you might enjoy the solution we finally came up with. I had him email me the Excel file, which of course was in .xlsx format, so I had to download the translator to give me backwards compatibility with my older version of Excel. I opened the file in Excel 2004. Next, we connected via iChat and turned on screen sharing. I then allowed him to control my computer via iChat. He was able to plug away with the commands on my Mac. It worked pretty well. There was a fair amount of lag for him, so once I caught the pattern of what he had to do, I repeated the steps for him. You see, he had 5 tabs of regression that needed to be performed. He was able to watch and catch me if I made a mistake, but that way he didn't have to suffer the annoyance of the lag when picking menus. When he was done, he saved the file out, he emailed it back to himself, and he was good to go. I thought it was a clever solution to a rather sticky problem, so I thought I'd tell you about it so if you ever get into that kind of bind, you might be able to use that same kind of solution. Well, next up, we have another listener review from Alistair Jenks, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Hi, Alison. This is Alistair from New Zealand, host of the Sitting Duck podcast and sometimes contributor, sometimes confounder to the NoCillaCast. What I have for you today is not strictly speaking a product review, but it does start with a problem to be solved, and I assure you there is a solution at the end. Really, this is more about the process I went through. The problem is that I tinker with WordPress. Probably too much, really, but no. The actual problem is that I wanted a good text editor to work with WordPress-related PHP files. By good, I mean one that will handle syntax highlighting of quite complex expressions. It's to do with HTML quotes versus PHP quotes, but I won't bore the audience with that detail. I had been using Smeltron, but it doesn't handle the situations I was encountering. Plus, Bart started recommending it, so development ceased. Then I heard on the NoCillaCast that Bart was recommending the son of Smeltron, Phrase. So now, of course, development has ceased on that also. In any case, it still had the same problems. So, what to do? After much Googling, the choices for rock-solid syntax highlighting seemed to settle on Coda from Panic Software for $99 or BB Edit from Bare Bones Software for $125. Yikes! It seemed like an awful lot of money for what I needed. I'm sure both products would excel at the task, but both were also overqualified. I tweeted Bart, who suggested Coda was a good bet, and BB Edit spotted my plea on Twitter and talked up their offering. BB Edit also offered their free baby brother Text Wrangler. A quick test of Text Wrangler showed it wasn't quite up to the task, suffering the same issue as Smeltron. So, in a quandary about dropping some serious dollars, I googled some more, and Espresso from MacRabbit popped up. Hold on a minute. A quick search of my Gmail confirmed my suspicion that I already owned a license for it. Woot! So, why did I own a license and not really remember? In a word, Mac Heist 3 to be precise. I'd bought the package purely for Wiretap Studio from Ambrosia Software, but it also included Espresso. So I set about checking Espresso's capabilities. First up, connect to my FTP host. oh dear. Let's just say Espresso's FTP server handling is buggy at best. After many failed attempts and several serious hangs, I was despairing of ever finding the solution. Hold on a minute. I'm an idiot. Smultron, which I had been using for quite some time, does not have FTP server functions. I had configured it as the default external editor for Panic Software's Transmit FTP client. Insert sound of smacking forehead. Yes, a short moment later, I had configured Espresso as Transmit's default editor and I was in business. Woot! A short test or two later, I was happy. Espresso handles most situations I've thrown at it and is generally a great editor for PHP and the HTML and CSS I delve into. Problem solved. So, what are the morals of this story? Do your research. I must have spent several hours on Google and the resulting sites looking for software, feature lists, and user experience. Much software was found and discounted in this phase. Try to remember what software you already own. Alison, I think this goes doubly for people like you, well, and me, who download a lot of stuff to try out. Sometimes it doesn't solve today's problems, but it may just solve tomorrow's. Finally, be sure to figure out just what problem you are solving. Many of the products I encountered along the way are very capable but did not meet my requirements, and the one I ended up selecting has some serious weaknesses that don't matter to me. If anyone is listening and has similar but different needs, be sure to follow the links in the show notes to check them all out and see what might work for you. I hope this has been helpful.
Well, thanks, Alistair. I love your delivery. The chat room was going crazy with how great your voice is. This lesson was actually certainly right about searching to see if you already own stuff. I have my own story. Yesterday, I had a problem with Transmit. It decided it didn't want to let me FTP to my website anymore. This was really unfortunate because I was halfway through upgrading to WordPress 3 and it died. So my website was actually down. I went over to my ISP's crappy web-based FTP uploader and it was working just fine. So at least I knew it wasn't my website having a problem. I tried making a second configuration file in Transmit, but that failed too. I tried flipping from FTP to SFTP and back and nothing worked. I thought about it and I remembered I used to use CyberDuck, so I downloaded it again. It offered to import my bookmarks from Transmit, so I said yes. CyberDuck was able to FTP into my site with no difficulties at all. I still don't know what was wrong with Transmit, which, by the way, became magically healed after CyberDuck got done doing all the work. I think it just went out for a beer or something. It was lazy. Now, what does all this have to do with Alistair's story? Well, after CyberDuck saved my bacon, I decided to give a donation to the developer. But then I got to thinking about what you'd said. I did a quick search of my receipts folder, and sure enough, I'd already donated $20. See how this all comes together? One last fun thing with Alistair. He and I did a faceplant on Saturday with him on the Mac and me on my iPhone, and it worked perfectly. I threw a screenshot of the two of us goofing around in the show notes. It was fun to finally meet him, quote unquote. Lindsay needed a minor bit of work done on her car recently, so she drove her 1998 Accord up to the LA area so she could have Honda Bob take care of things. She wouldn't trust her car with anyone else. Now, you've come to expect Honda Bob to do a quality job, charge a reasonable price, and drive to your house to fit your car and even fix your car and even clean up after himself. What you also get is really good advice well beyond the normal services. While he was replacing Lindsay's brakes, he called her over to show her how her tires were wearing down and told her it was time to replace them before the rains come. He was concerned for her safety. I'm convinced it's not just because she's my daughter and she's known her since she was born. He treats everyone with this kind of care. He's not going to make a dime off of her getting new tires. It wasn't one of those, oh, my brother Sam has a tire shop deals. Now, it was pure and simple. You need to stay safe, and here's how to do it. If you'd like that kind of advice and you live in the LA or Orange County areas and you drive a Honda or an Acura, give Honda Bob a call at 562-531-2321 or send him an email at hjbob@aol.com. HJ Bob's mobile service is not affiliated with Honda, Acura, or Honda Worldwide. And by the way, Bob, she just got four brand new tires today. Well, I'm flying solo on Security Light today because we do not have Bart Bouchatz with us. He is, in theory, on the mend. He does appreciate all the well wishes that are coming his way, but with any luck, we're hoping to have him on the show by next week. Anyway, I'm flying solo on Security Light, but I found the page Bart usually shows me on uscert.gov, where they give the current updates. So I'm going to just go through and do it on my own. First of all, Apple released Java for Mac OS X Leopard and Snow Leopard. Guess why? Well, because there's vulnerabilities that can cause an attacker to execute arbitrary code or cause a denial of service attack, of course. We really should have a jingle for arbitrary code execution, don't you think? All you have to do to fix this one is run software update on your Mac and you'll be golden. Google Chrome got an update for Linux, Mac, and Windows. Everybody sing along with me. Arbitrary code execution, denial of service, but also URL spoofing and even bypassing security restrictions. I'm pretty sure Chrome updates itself now because I just checked and I'm running 7.0.517.41, which is the new good one. You know, those guys at Google must giggle like crazy when they give us version numbers like that. Firefox got an update too for all the same reasons. Boy, I see why Bart doesn't read all of this anymore out loud to us. There's a fix for Firefox 3.6 and 3.5. It also affects Thunderbird and SeaMonkey if you're running either of those. Check to make sure you're running automatic updates on all those versions. Well, it's time for my favorite time of the week. It's time for chit-chat across the pond with Nightwise from Nightwise.com. How are you doing today, Nightwise?
Good morning, podcastaways, or not silicastaways, I should say. I'm doing fine. It's 7 a.m. in the morning. I've been up for a little bit of an hour on Saturday performing podcasting duties just to be here.
In absentia, for the as the spare Belgian, you're always willing to step up, aren't you?
Yes, I am the spare tire on the great car that is called this Chit Chat Belgian. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you standing in for Bart. You sound kind of mellow this morning, though. I think I might be able to take advantage of you when you're this sleepy.
Don't confuse mellow with docile.
Yeah. That's okay. I just came from dinner, so we're definitely at odds in timing here. But I wanted to get you on because you've been having some fun in the last month or so. Where anybody who doesn't listen to the Nightcast is just missing something entirely. And I'm going to pimp your show a little bit here for you. The Nightcast is an interesting show because it's a combination of sometimes you get audio, sometimes you get video. You might get a sound seeing tour through a World War II area, you know, something from World War II, or you might get an Ubuntu installation, or you might even get a Screen Steps tutorial in a PDF. You absolutely never know what you're going to get with the Nightcast, right, Nightwise?
Yeah, that's true. That's why we call it the media feed. The RSS feed that gives you the enclosures is called the media feed because it can deliver all kinds of things. When I have the urge or when I have the itch for audio podcasting, I choose that. When I want to do some video, I do a KWTV episode. But when there are some technical things I want to explain, I might just go for a DocuCast where I send you a PDF with a how-to. I just pick whatever medium goes best for the message I'm trying to get across. And, you know, if you subscribe to the feed, call it entertainment. It's something different every time.
Absolutely. You know, I'm sorry to say that my favorite part isn't you. My favorite part is where Niana, your wife, at the end says, what's her closing line for the show?
Just remember, there is a real world outside cyberspace, but it's not all that important.
I love that. That's great.
We've been getting quite a bit of feedback on that one. I've got a wonderful letter from one of the listeners saying that they especially like listening to the Nightcast for the last part where she closes off the show.
Oh, it's just awesome. It's like complete justification for the geeks that we are, you know?
Yeah, I do try to make life outside cyberspace important because that's where she is. So that's really important.
That's true, but she's a geek too. She's all over the internet.
Yeah, she is. She did get on Twitter this week. So,
oh, did she?
Yes. I'll keep that candy in my pocket and let you slip along because it ties right into the topic.
Okay.
Of what we're going to talk about.
Okay, so let me set this up a little bit. You had you had an iPhone 3GS or 3G?
3G.
A 3G.
I'm a man of principles. I still think the iPhone is overpriced. So I didn't want to pay the full, you can say a man of principle, or you can just say I'm cheap. Either way. And I did get a chance to buy an iPhone 3G for €200, which is dirt cheap.
Nice.
And I decided to go for it. And I've owned it for several months. Shocked both my and your community that I had fallen from grace.
iPad?
Yeah, you know, the iPad was okay. I mean, it was like not like I never ranted against the iPad like I ranted against the iPhone. So,
you said it wasn't magical.
Yeah, I can be wrong from time to time. You threw an autistic boy who said his first words at me. I mean, what am I going to say?
That was big of you to accept that finally. I mean, that was tough proof.
Yes, it was. It was a wonderful story, by the way, and I really enjoyed the interview.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
So it was weird that you got an iPhone, though. We didn't see that coming.
No. I like to surprise people from time to time. And it was an opportunistic chance, actually. I was just browsing the Craigslist, the Belgian version of the Craigslist, and then I suddenly saw, like, €200 for an iPhone 3G, and it was, like, in my area. So, like, okay, I'll go for that. Came home with it and offered it to Niana. Said, like, oh, would you like it? And she said, nah, I'm good with my phone. I said, like, oh, that's okay. I kept it for me.
You were trying to pretend that it was a present for her, but you really wanted it, right?
Well, if she accepted it, I would have graciously offered it, because she was, you know, still had that like
feature really, phone, right?
She had a really, really lame, stupid, non-techie phone.
Well, actually, I remember at the tweet up in Antwerp where we all threw in our geek gear into a giant pile, and it was this massive, massive pile of geek gear, and she just very quietly at the end laid this little tiny feature phone on top of all the rest of the glop we had.
Let me assure you, that phone is gone.
Let's fast forward to what happened next.
Well, as with all tech, you get tired with it and you want something.
It had been 3 months already, right?
Yeah, and then they send off Steve Jobs actually took two salespeople, have them impersonate podcasters and longtime friends, and shot them over to Belgium to visit us. And the only mission that they had covertly, and the rest was all subterfuge. Thank you. The rest was all subterfuge. The only thing that they had to do was flaunt the iPhone 4 in front of me and show me how great it was. So after they left, the ice cap started to melt, and I was going like, "Oh darn! I think I'm going to get an iPhone 4 because, quite frankly, the audio and video quality of that device is magnificent, and even the things that I recorded on the iPhone 3G were very high in quality." So I thought, like, you know what? I've got a birthday coming up. I'll go for an iPhone 4. So I go to the store. I start my quest of finding an iPhone 4.
Ah, that's not going to be easy in your country.
Well, yeah, I enlisted three hobbits, an elf, a midget, and a wizard. And that does make the task a whole lot easier.
Then you have to feed them and everything, but though, so that's tough.
Yeah, they've got this this bread the elf brought, and that
and the hobbits can drink.
Yeah, that's true. And their feet smell.
Yeah,
they have pod feet.
Ah.
See,
it all comes together.
Mellow yet not docile.
There you go.
I started looking around, and I found a Walmart store. They also sell dishwashers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they also carry the iPhone.
Yeah.
So I called them. I said, what's your delivery rate? Well, 3 weeks, you get one. And I'm looking at 6 weeks to 3 months everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, just come on over, plop down your deposit, and we'll order you one. So I went over. They didn't have one on stock. So I just plopped down my €50, and I ordered it. Now, as I'm laying down my money on the counter, I see this little booklet on the right side that says,
no,
Samsung Galaxy S. And part of me, a little voice in my mind giggles, goes like, it's faith. And it was kind of faith. So I just, my money's hovering over the counter. I take out the booklet. I start flipping around on it. And I think, like, interesting. So I asked the guy.
Let me interrupt you for a second, because right here I got really confused in the story, because the Samsung Galaxy S that I hear about here is the up-and-coming tablet. But you're talking about a phone, right? This is an Android phone.
The Samsung Galaxy S is different from the Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Okay.
Samsung Galaxy S is a phone, but it's known under different names in the U.S. But which ones?
Okay. Yeah,
both Googling like hell.
Yeah, you heard me typing, right?
Yeah. It's carried by several providers in the U.S., and it's known there under different names.
Okay. But the important thing is it's an Android phone.
It's an Android 2.1 phone. So my money is hovering over the counter. I have this booklet in my hand, and I go like, So I asked the guy, I said, wow, that's actually quite interesting. I'd never buy a Samsung. Never would. And I don't know. They do make some phones, but they make like the Samsung Corby, which is something you call with, and then out of sheer frustration, you just throw it away so hard it actually bumps into the Hubble Space Telescope when you're done. So I thought like, interesting. So I asked the guy, I says, does this baby have a front-facing camera? Because I want to use it for video blogging, and I don't want to walk around with my hands outstretched and the phone facing towards me. I just want to, you know, use the kind of FaceTime-like interface.
Right, right.
Well, no, it doesn't. I said like, oh, okay. I just put the booklet in my hand, throw down my money, and I leave the store. iPhone ordered. And then I get home. And you're curious, so you start to Google around, and you start to, you know, look on Twitter, and you start to ask your community, and that's the last thing that I want to do, is ask my community. You see, you have an army, right?
Sure.
You have your community is your army. They're your think tank, they're your army, they're your minions, they're your fans, they're the people you do everything for.
But they trust you to stay true to yourself, don't they?
They do. But you have an advantage. 99% of your fans are Mac oriented.
Right.
I have this I have like a miniature Belgium with like Mac fans on one end and Linux fans on the other end, because we're cross-platform, and we all get along, and they all have one common denominator, which is they're listening to me. That's a punishment. But, you know, for the rest, they completely disagree. So when I ask my community, what phone should I buy? It's like civil war.
Oh, no.
It was very interesting. I had my Apple followers really drawing their lightsabers and stepping forward, and then I had my Android fanboys who are like wielding like bathlets and completely different setting of an army, and they were each trying to get me across, going like Nightwise.
I just have this drawing in my head. I wish I could draw a picture of Nightwise in the middle, wearing some geek T-shirt with the Linux neck beards on one side and the overdressed Mac fanboys on the other side pulling you in half.
Yeah, that's the world that I live in. So it was amazing to have those responses from my community. Along comes a Belgian female podcaster.
Ooh.
Or videocaster who reviews mobile phones in English.
Really?
So, yes. I felt I was like Luke Skywalker meeting his sister, going like, what? I'm not alone?
It sounds like another spare Belgian I should be talking to at some point.
Yes. She's very good. She's very, very good. She's a copywriter, and she's very charming. I'll send you the URL to her website.
Nice.
But she reviews these phones. So I first watched the videos, then I got in touch over Twitter, and they actually kind of convinced me. Well, it was really hard. There was a lot of FUD. I was with the iPhone, it's simple. There is the iPhone, and you can jailbreak it, and that's about it. But with Android, you can jailbreak it, you can root it. There is this
version. We don't even have to jailbreak it, do you?
Well, if you want at least a window in that walled garden, you do jailbreak it.
Oh, okay.
And then there's the Android phones. First of all, there are different models of the Galaxy S depending on the operator. So we had to take that into account. which version do we have, the European version, which version of the firmware does it run, which version of Android does it run, and stuff like that. So it's really confusing when you step into that world, because it's like, it's really like not the walled garden that you're used to. There
it's anarchy.
Let's see.
Not quite.
Anarchy is a higher form of democracy where the voting system isn't top-notch just yet. But it's very, very interesting. There's the Apple fanboy in me, the producer in me, that says, like, Nightwise, you know what you have to do. You've seen the iPhone in action. You see what this can do for you as a production device. You can video blog with it. You can do audio interviews with it. It's a great phone. You had the 3G, blah, blah, blah. Everything's great. And it has Angry Birds. So the serious Mac side of me said, like, Nightwise, please, please don't embarrass us. Buy the iPhone. Be done with it. And then we had the geek side of me who said, like, but this is something I don't know. This is something new. This is something where there's a lot of hype about. And then I had the open source guru in my head going, like, freedom, freedom, freedom. So at the end of the week, I was ready for medication. So
those multiple personalities really are a problem for you.
Yeah, but there's also the cheesy Nightwise. And cheesy Nightwise went looking on Craigslist, found a secondhand Samsung Galaxy S for 400 euros, managed to sell his own iPhone 3G for 275 euros.
You made 75 euros on it?
Yeah, sure.
Nice.
There is one wise proverb: a fool and his money must be parted. So there's also the economic Nightwise, and he mostly does the Visa stuff. So he says, like, Nightwise, economically. So we had a convention inside my head where the Mac fanboy goes, like, if it doesn't work out, I told you so. And we're the
fine, the, go ahead and get it.
Fine, go ahead and get it. And where the Linux geek, where the geek in me goes, like, oh, it's a whole new world. It's the final frontier. Engage, engage. And where the open source geek goes, like, freedom, because he basically just, you know, yells one thing. You know, what do you want for breakfast? Freedom. What do you want for your coffee? Freedom. Okay. And then there's the economic Nightwise, who just said, like, basically, guys, it's like 730 versus 125. What you gonna do? And that's how I got the Android. No. So they all agreed, and we got the Android.
So and, now, what's and the we, difference between you what you bought used and what you saw in the little flyer?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. You just got a used one. So just awesome.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. And it was in perfect condition. It was one of, you know what a blister boy is?
I don't think so.
A blister boy is somebody who, like, buys a Star Wars action figure and puts it in the cupboard in its original package, in its original plastic blister, hence blister boy. So I bought it from a blister boy. And these blister boys, they keep, like, everything in the original packaging and stuff like that. I'm a blister boy, too.
Okay, I have to interrupt you because I told you at the beginning that I just came from dinner with our dear friend Ron, who is a geek beyond almost anybody I know. You know, he's the whole comic book thing. Remember we bought a Belgian comic book for him, a Flemish comic book?
Yep.
And for his birthday, one of the things we got him was a Star Trek Enterprise pizza cutter.
Yes.
You may have seen it going around the geek circles. And he looked around. He just loved it. It's beautiful, by the way. It's huge. You need this, Nightwise. It's like 8 inches long. I mean, this thing is giant. It looks really little in the picture, but it's this big thing. And he says to the crowd, he says, you know, the 20-year-old Ron would have taken this and wrapped it in bubble wrap and put it on the shelf and had nitrogen pumped into the case, you know, to keep it perfect. But you know what we're doing? We're having a pizza party with it. So he's a reformed pizza boy, reformed bubble wrap person. What did you call them? Bubble boy.
Bubble wrap boy. He's a reformed bubble boy. Yeah, but it's way easier to go like, cutting pizza, warp 9, then, you know, just having it on the shelf.
By the way, there's no A, B, C, D, or D on that. It's the original call numbers with nothing after it.
Oh, it's Matt Jeffries' original. Oh, love it.
It's just beautiful. Anyway, but we digress.
We digress. Where was I? Blister Boy. Yeah, I got it secondhand from a Blister Boy, so it's in mint condition. So it's basically new.
Fantastic.
And I've fallen...
I have to tell you, if you'd asked me to vote, I would have been really disappointed if you'd picked the iPhone. Because it's against who you are. It's against your nature and your truth of who you are. Because there's no discovery, right?
That's true. And that was the hardest part to go for.
It would have just worked.
Yeah, I must say I'm not perfectly happy with the Android, and it did offer the Galaxy S, and it did offer me some challenges. But the freedom and the new things that you learn from it, and I also one of the excuses that I had was I have to do well. It's not an excuse. That would be mean to use it as that, but I have a responsibility to the people who listen to find out new things.
Oh yeah,
so I can talk about new things. Niana said, like, you'll be sorry. You'll be selling this thing in a month.
Mm.
Why don't you buy? Go for an iPhone. You know that it works. It doesn't. It costs more, but that's not a problem. Blah blah blah. And I said, like, yeah, I think you're right, but I have to take this chance.
And so you don't get as attached to your stuff as some people. If you did sell it in a month, you'd probably sell it for more than you bought it for.
Of course. Those are the basics of economics.
Right, right. So, I mean, it wouldn't...
Take the secondhand product, look at the price you bought for it, see if you can add to that price, and then look for a fool whose money needs to be potted from himself.
Exactly. Sell.
Yeah. I mean, every principle has its price.
But, so what's cool about it? What's really fun that you've been able to do?
The Samsung Galaxy S, what I absolutely like about it is it has a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, the screen's not so good. It is lighter than the iPhone. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit bigger than the iPhone. But the thing I like about it is absolute freedom.
Freedom!
Freedom! This thing does not come with an application on the computer. This thing is built to function on its own.
The one thing I like is...
You don't need a client application. It just has an SD card, which if you pop it into the computer, shows up like an SD card.
You mean just you like just, a file directory and you can just drag stuff on it?
Just like a file directory. I just drag movies onto it, drag podcasts onto it, stuff like that. And when I open up the phone and start up the phone, it just finds that medium and plays it for me.
That's no conversion, kinda nice.
No GarageBand, no syncing, no crap like that. It's just like... You can play with me. You can play with me. It sits there and says, like, likewise, you can play with me. I work for you. And it's
only
not like
sound a little like a pervert right now, by the way. Just a little bit.
No, it's not like the iPhone sitting there like, hello. Hello, iPhone. Can I put some? No, you have to go by iTunes.
Buy me a drink first.
Yeah. I think the iPhone 4 is that cool looking girl at the prom who treats everybody like crap and you have to buy her drinks before you can talk
to her. Right, right.
And the Android is just a slutty girl.
You can play with me.
Yeah, play with me. So that's one thing that it's cool. It's completely open. The second thing it's cool at is it is built around aggregation.
Hmm.
It says like, okay, what's your Gmail account? That. Do you have another Gmail account? Oh, yes, I do. That. Do you have Twitter? Yes, that. Do you have Facebook? Yes, that. Okay, would you like me to pull all of those accounts into my address book, match up persons, pictures, phone numbers, and email addresses so you have one massive address book out of these four services? Oh, yes, please.
Now,
there you go.
What is that like, though, in real life? I mean, if you go to send somebody an email and it sends something to their Facebook account instead, or...
No, you can choose what function you want to use, but what I now have is all of my online community in my phone. So if it's a Facebook contact, it goes to Facebook. If it's a Facebook contact who's also in Twitter and I have his email address, I can send it to his email address, or I can tweet him, or I can send it to Facebook, stuff like that. It really pulls everything together, and that is a very, very nice thing. Also, all of your alerts are pulled together. You have a new tweet, ding. You have a new mail, ding. You have a new Facebook message, ding. And it's not like, okay, I come from an iPhone 3G where there's one app or the other. Where want to check Twitter? Yeah, then open up Twitter. Okay. Want to check Facebook? Open up Facebook. Okay. Ugh. And now it just has everything running, which makes it an incredibly noisy device at times. Because sometimes, you know, especially at a Mac keynote or something, you get a storm of content. But the fact that it pulls everything together is so nice.
No, I depend a lot. and maybe this is a poor way to manage my life, but I depend a lot on my previous recipients or in my email. In Apple Mail, you know, it'll tell you who you've gotten email from. So I forget that people aren't actually in my address book. I've been writing to somebody for a couple of years, but I start writing their name and it fills it in for me, and I don't realize they're not in my address book. It would be hard to get that, wouldn't it?
You've got social carpal tunnel syndrome, where you basically look at the same pool of people you communicate with all the time. And what I now found out is where I had a situation like, I'm in this situation here. Darn, if I only could contact that guy on Twitter, he would know. And then I've got like, oh, God, I've got his email address here. And I'll send him an email. That's cool.
Now, does it help you remember people's names? Like you got a cross-reference now from their name to their Twitter name? You have to connect those probably together, don't you?
Yeah, but I hardly remember people's names.
Yeah, that's kind of old school anyway, isn't it?
I don't have a name. Oh, I do have a name, but, you know, it's not really that important.
I was just talking about that tonight when I said I was going to talk to a spare Belgian tonight. And I said, his name is Nightwise. And my friend says, his name is Nightwise? I said, no, but it's not important what his real name is.
Yeah, I've got a tweet up coming this afternoon. Well, tweet up. We're going to the FACTS convention. There's one or two listeners coming along.
Nice.
And on Facebook, I got this Dutch guy going like, hey, I'm coming too. And I thought like, hey, great. I don't know who this is. And then I give him my cell phone number so we can hook up on the parking lot before we go in. And then he sends me a text message and he signs with his Twitter handle. And I go like, oh,
I still don't know.
No, I do know.
Oh, that's okay. As long as you know his Twitter handle, you're okay.
Yeah. Don't. Oh, sorry. Microphone just fell over. Don't tell me your name. Tell me your Twitter handle. I mean, real names are, well, not really important. Well,
now, she asked me an important question. I know we are, by the way, slightly off the topic of the phone, but she asked me another question. She said, does he call you Podfeet? And I said, huh, no. That's weird.
Well,
you should.
Yeah, but
I guess.
That's because your online identity is, this is Alison Sheridan. I'm so used to.
I suppose here, so. I use my name Alison, too much. There we go.
The great thing is when we were over here, I think if you would have called me by my real name, it would have been unnatural for you. There you go. Names are overrated.
There you go. So back to the phone. So how do you feel about this fragmentation of the Android operating system? I mean, which one do you have? Do you have Froyo or whatever it's called? I mean,
I've got a 2.1, and I'm waiting for Samsung to release the 2.2. Now you can put your betas on there, and you can put special firmwares on there, or you can just be patient.
Well, but wait a minute. It's an open operating system. Why can't you just put 2.2 on there?
Because it has to be specified for the designer, for the hardware manufacturer. Basically, Froyo comes out, Samsung picks it up, Sony picks it up, HTC picks it up, and they each adapt the version of Froyo for their devices. There's no vanilla flavor that you can just put on there. It has to be suitable for your ROM. This is not like Apple with one hardware platform. These are different hardware platforms. That means that the buttons are in different places or they either call different functions. So the developer does need to do some tinkering about it and then release it.
Oh, I thought it was just they were being stinky. There's an actual technical reason why.
There is a technical reason why. They have to make some adaptation to the plain vanilla Froyo in order to release it for your device. So I'm waiting for 2.2.
It's a little better than what I thought.
But I've got everything that I want, really. I mean,
now, do you have fart apps? You got a lot of fart apps. Are you okay on that front?
There is quite a bit of crap in the Android marketplace, just like there's quite a bit of crap in the iPhone marketplace. You can also download third party sources, which does make out for some not really stable applications sometimes. Hence, that there is some fodder in there. But you know. You just trust your community. Just Google around best Android app for this, best Android app for that.
And sure.
People will have made that selection for you. And when you go that way, it's amazing. I've got an app on there called Pixel Pipe. I take a picture and Pixel Pipe says like, okay, you've set up different pipes. This means that this picture goes, a copy goes to your Dropbox account. So you have an offline version. A copy goes to your Twitter, a copy goes to your Facebook, and a copy goes to your Flickr. I'm done. Next picture, please.
Oh, nice.
That is nice. I mean, me and Iana have set this up. So, that's the second part of the story. I'll get to that a little bit later on. As for that, I'm very pleased. Hardware, when it comes down to hardware, microphones, absolutely crap.
You know, I felt so bad when you did your first recording on the Samsung. I was just sitting there going, oh, Nightwise, that sounds horrible. It does. I'm going to have to tell them. And then all of a sudden you said, yeah, hey, it sounds like crap, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's great for video. I've shot some videos with it. And when the camera has enough light, it's a really beautiful camera. I've shot some pictures with it, which made me – our point-and-shoot camera died this week. We're not going to replace it. We're just going to keep the phone.
Point-and-shoots have got to be suffering now, haven't they? There's just no point to them anymore, because if you have this in your pocket.
Yeah, that's it. And the added value – you can even have a reduction in quality with this camera phone, but the fact that you can publish and share your content straight away, that's the kicker. So that's interesting. So nice. Except for the audio, which is not really good, it's great. I had one of these Zag Invisible Shield stickers to put on the cover so it doesn't scratch, and they've made the cover the screen is even better now, and it feels easier to work with. So really good. Really, really happy with that for the rest. Just the microphone, that's about it, that I don't really like. And now I just have to find out a way to, and I'm looking at that. This is now you Mac followers or Mac owners might not know this, but you know, you can sync stuff without a wire. Okay. You've got phones these days. We've got Bluetooth, we've got infrared, we've got wireless, we've got 3G. But in order to sync them, you have to plug in a stinking cable.
Well, that's heresy, you and your voodoo.
Yes, but I mean, it's so stupid. We've got all of these connected devices, and every time I need to charge up my iPod or my iPad, I need to, you know, hook it up to a cable. So I thought, like, that's the one thing I don't want to do. So now I'm looking into running a little FTP server on the phone and having my Linux server pull down my podcast, and at a certain time, take the new podcast and transfer them automatically, push them to the phone at night via the FTP client on the phone. So just grab up the phone in the morning, leave the house.
Wow.
And it's synchronized. And
now, doesn't the phone have to be awake?
No.
Oh, come on. No. It's going to wake the phone up? You have wake on LAN or something?
Well, the phone's awake. I mean, the screen's off, but the phone's just sitting there. Huh. And the app is – it's called running applications in the background, which is fairly new in iPhone.
How's that battery life?
When I do that and I have it connected to wireless and stuff, at night I charge it and I hook up the FTP server.
So you're saying it's plugged in when you're doing the wireless? Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah. When we get home, plug in phones, activate wireless. That way I can reach them over the network, and if somebody needs a new piece of music, I could just send it there, like that.
You could just plug it in via USB and be charging it and moving data to it, couldn't you?
Just that's
Shut up.
No. I want to be able to push content to it from any device.
Not just the device
that is connected via the little cable.
Okay, I gotcha. I'll buy it. I'm buying it.
Speaking of buying, that's when it happened. Hmm. Me and Iana went out, and she had been, you know, looking at the Galaxy S and snorting at me, going like, "Yeah, look at that, and you're going to sell it in a week and stuff like that." But I kind of held on to it. I had a lot of fun with it, and so she starts looking at her crummy phone. She goes like, "I need something else," and we were almost at the verge. Iana is a real Sony fan. She likes her Sony hardware. It's odd, but you know. We went to the shop and went looking around for the Android one, which one was it? Sony Xperia Mini Pro, which is this little phone with a physical keyboard.
Okay.
And it ran Android 1.6, and we were at the store and she was ready to pick it up. We, of course, had visited several stores and have had researched on Twitter and stuff like that. And right before she buys it, she looks to the left and she says, like, "That's the HTC Wildfire, isn't it?" I said, like, "Yes." "That's the one you recommended to a friend of us, isn't it?" I said, "Yes." "I think I'm going to go with that one."
Oh, no.
So she did. Then domestic trouble. Okay, we of course had test to two devices, you know, Niana's audio on video and my audio on video, Niana's picture quality, my picture quality, and it became this geek fight. And her phone is even better in some parts than my phone.
Oh,
and my phone,
that's not good.
No, it's fun. It's like geek warfare.
She won, though, huh?
Yeah, she ain't stepping down from her argument. She goes like, "No, that's better on my phone, and that's crappy on your phone," and it's really sweet. So she's going to come on Twitter. We're waiting for her data plan to activate, which is a little bit of a paperwork's nightmare these days. So we're waiting for that to activate. Meanwhile, she carries around her phone. It plays the theme of Doctor Who when somebody rings her. It plays
Doctor Who is a theme song. That nice.
Yeah, it has a landing TARDIS when she gets a text message. So she's geeking out to the max on it, and she goes like, "Wow, I'm so happy I bought this thing," and sits there on the couch playing Bejeweled over Wi-Fi and stuff. Really, really nice. So you got a second Android in the family.
Now, does she like to add a lot of apps to it, or is she just uses it as it comes, or where does she fit in that?
No, when she has the time, she'll start browsing the Android market and putting more stuff on it. And once she'll have her data plan, she'll, of course, experience more of the connectivity and stuff. So,
are you going to let us know what her Twitter handle is so we can suddenly get a whole bunch of people following her and freak her out?
Yep. N-I-E-J-N-A.
N-I-E-J-N-A. J-N-A. I can't pronounce that.
Niana, but the phonetics are a little bit wrong, but there is some lame Twitter idler by the handle of Niana, N-Y-N-A and stuff, who has the handle but doesn't do anything with it. So I think we should kick and ban those people.
Yes.
So we went for the next best thing, N-I-E-J-N-A, which is how you pronounce Niana in Flemish.
Ah, I'm surprised it didn't have a whole, like 12 syllables just to come up with that, right?
It's Flemish, not Klingon.
So overall, it sounds like you're having a lot of fun messing with the inner guts and doing the weird stuff, doing the FTP from Linux and all that. That's fun.
It's kind of the undiscovered country, and a lot of solutions you can make yourself. And this is what I gave up the fact that everything just works in the Apple side and in the walled garden, and it's a great phone and stuff like that, to a more adventurous phone like the Galaxy S on an Android OS. But just the fact that you can, you know, it challenges you to think up new recordings and new solutions and new ways to do stuff. Just like, you know, with the whole podcast push idea that I have that I was working on. So that's something I really, really want to try.
This is pretty fun. I'm really glad you went with the Android. I really wouldn't have been happy if you just gotten a phone that, you know, works all the time and stuff.
Yeah, I'm now working on that wireless podcast solution where I want the server to download my podcasts and I want them to be on my phone automatically as I leave the house.
You know what I want to be able to do? It's not the putting the phone the podcast on it. I want to be able to delete them on the phone. I want to be able to look at a podcast and say, okay, I just finished listening to that. Let me delete it so that when I sync, it'll delete it on my Mac and I don't have to sit there going, oh, did I listen to that one or not? I mean, I know it marks it and says, yeah, you listen to that, but it's too hard. Just make it go away when I get there.
Yeah, and no cables. Please, Steve, listen to me. Not that Steve, the other Steve, the one turtleneck Steve. turtleneck, my shirt is too tight, so I'll tuck it into my pants so my belly button doesn't stick out and my belt buckle points towards the sky, Steve. No more wires on the iPhone.
It's amazing that you don't drink. That's all I'm saying. I guess that's all on coffee, right?
Yeah. One cup.
Well, I should probably let you get back to more cups of coffee and let you go. But I really appreciate you standing in as the spare Belgian and giving us the lowdown. Be curious what other cool things you end up doing with this.
Okay. This show goes out on Monday, right?
Well, Sunday night my time, Monday your time, right?
Okay. To all fellow Belgians who are in the possession of a time machine, if you can go back to Saturday, 1300 hours in Ghent in Flanders, you can attend the FACTS convention, which is like Comic-Con for Belgians, and be with us on the show floor. So we're going there this afternoon.
I'll be sure to let them know retroactively.
Yes, absolutely. So if you have a spare TARDIS, donate it to Niana. She's a very big fan. And if you can go forward in time and find an iPhone that does not sync with a cable, you have pressed the wrong button and need to come back.
Well, thanks, Nightwise. And do give our love to Niana, will you?
Will do.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's time to close things out for the week. Hopefully, Bart will be back on his feet or at least sitting upright in his chair for podcasting by next weekend. But many thanks to Nightwise for sitting in for him. In the meantime, please help out the show by writing an iTunes review if you haven't done it already. Only one vote per person, unfortunately. You can also send in your dumb questions to allison@podfeet.com. And do remember to use the Amazon search link at podfeet.com to make all of your purchases, especially for the holidays. It doesn't cost you a dime, but a small percentage goes towards the cost of creating the NoSilicast. In between shows, be sure to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/podfeet. Thanks for listening, and stay subscribed.